should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest, and the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
Orchestra, 1974, Dale Carnegie Hall, live performance. Listen to how much the crowd enjoyed this performance. Listen to this ovation. It's what I hear in my head just before 3 o'clock every day. I don't know if the audience is giving me a rousing round of applause, but it certainly feels that way. I am the common man, Dan Cole. Ack, ack, a dack, and dack, dack, ack to you. It's really a pleasure to be joined by my good friend, Brent. Brent and I go way back. We've got a great vibe. Brent, have we worked together before here on the Common Man program? And how many times has it been?
On the program, no.
I didn't think so.
In Top Golf events, yes. We have done that.
Yes, we have. But this is the first time that you and I have shared the airwaves together during an episode of the Common Man program. I think this is 13,000 of episodes I've done. I think I've done 13,014. This is the 13,014th. And it's a pleasure to have you here. I probably should introduce you to the audience that would not be familiar with then. Brent.
Yep.
My favorite bit. Brent, do you have a radio last name or do you have a real last name?
I have a real last name.
And do you use it on the air? You have no problem with it? And your name is?
Blakemore.
Blakemore.
That's my last name.
I would come up with a radio name.
No, that's fair.
You know, because Blakemore's just not going to, you know, well, no, you know, maybe, you know, it would, Blake less, Blake just enough,
yeah,
more, less, just enough. That would be a name that's, I don't know if I've ever heard the name Blakemore before.
Yeah, it's rare.
So, yeah, I would think, so maybe you shouldn't change your name. Maybe you should keep it that way. How old are you, can I ask?
I'm 24.
24, so in my world, you're still a kid, barely older than my oldest boy. I'm old enough to be your father. Think about that for a minute. And do you think it would be fun to have me as a dad?
Well, this is our first time sharing the airwaves together. I think We can make that decision at 3.
You've known me long enough. Right? You've heard before, right? Mm-hmm. Am I anything like your dad? Because, you know, I'm that goofy dad I'm going to say it. I got to get the correct button bar up here for me. I would like to say that I'm a relatively funny person. and I think my kids, I always tell my kids, I go, you know, sometimes they'll roll their eyes, shrug their shoulders, and shake their head,
mm-hmm.
you know, at some of the things I do or say. And I say, would you rather I be the real serious dad than son? You know, do you want? And they go, no. They immediately say, no, we like you the way they are, because I like to keep things lively, non-serious. I mean, there are moments you have to be serious, but you know what I'm saying. I try to keep things light and lively is what I try to do. Your father, can I ask, is he a strict disciplinarian? Is he a funny guy? Is he just a... And what kind of a dad? What kind of a dad is he?
Definitely not disciplinarian, funny guy. You know, keeps it light, non-confrontational.
Well, good. Well, then I'm probably a lot like your dad. Maybe you'll even feel like you're working with your dad today.
How about that?
Though, how old is your dad? Let me guess. You're 24. He's 48.
Nah, he's 56.
56.
Yeah. Born 63. So born whatever 63. Math that is.
Yeah. Late December, 63? Oh, what a very special time for me. I was born in late December of 1958. Are you one of us? Are you originally from the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul?
So I'm from Des Moines, so it's almost.
Des Moines?
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Yeah, I'll be in Des Moines next weekend.
Oh, get some zombie burger.
What's it called?
Zombie burger.
Zombie burger. Where do you find? Is there one location for a zombie
burger?
There's
one location.
Where?
It's in it's in downtown, like East Village.
Okay, East Village.
Yep.
And it's called Zombies.
Yeah.
Is it like a sit down place, takeout, drive through, all of the above?
All the except for drive through.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a sit down. They have like spiked shakes and very very weird things there.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people go there.
What would you recommend for
for
the burger? I mean, I'm assuming they have more than one. They have like a list of burgers.
Oh yeah.
What's your favorite?
Well, here's a problem. We're gonna have to. I eat like Corey Cove. So.
No.
Yeah, I know.
You only eat chicken fingers?
I know. Yeah.
Seriously?
But, I mean, there's a little bit more, but I think I'm a little bit more variety than Corey, but not by much.
Well,
I hate it. It sucks.
Have you gone to a dietitian? Have you gone to a psychologist, for crying out?
Never had the time. Been in school and then I'm here.
What is it about? So what you eat, chicken fingers and what else? What does your diet consist of?
So anything like breaded. So we're talking like pizza or cheese curds or pretzels or breadsticks or, you know, waffles, pancakes, all that good stuff. A lot of carbs in my diet, unfortunately.
It sounds like at least you're having some fun when it comes to eating.
I have a lot of fun. That's a problem.
Steak?
I can, but one piece of fat is in there where your boy's in trouble.
That's weird because, see, that's my favorite part is the fat.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know what my favorite part of the fat is on a steak? When, you know that... That blue ink from the USDA stamp that's on it. If I'm lucky enough that I'm at the grocery store and I see where I can see part of that USDA stamp, that's the piece of meat I take. A little ink with my food.
What does it taste like?
I like ink. It adds a little blue ink. It's I actually like it. BLT? You couldn't do it.
No.
Really?
It's just like my body just says reject. And
seriously?
Yeah, I don't know.
And you've tried?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you get like physically ill then? Really?
Yep. I get ill at the thought of it. I can get sick. I hate it, man.
So I should refrain from bringing up, because if I bring it up, will you get sick? Right? Would you get sick on the Air Force? I don't think I've ever been with anybody who's gotten sick on the air.
It would take someone like shoving something,
artichokes,
food item into my mouth. Yes.
Avocado.
Yeah. Ugh.
Look at your face is turning a little green. It looks like an avocado right now. Well, that's unfortunate. I feel bad for you because there's nothing I won't eat except for raw fish or snake. That's the only two things I won't eat. I've eaten dog biscuits before when I was a kid. We would eat, because we thought, hey, these look good. There'd be green ones, yellow ones, brown ones, and another color, and we would eat dog biscuits. If it was good enough for the dog, it was good enough for us, and it didn't taste very good, but we just thought, well, if it helps build strong bodies 12 ways, then why not for us as well? So there's not much I won't eat. Well, that's unfortunate. Did you like Des Moines? I mean, have I ever done my impression of Iowa for you? Do you know what the state tree is in Iowa?
I don't know.
Telephone pole.
I always love that one.
Yeah.
Des Moines High School, is that where you went? Did you graduate?
Southeast Polk High School.
Southeast Polk.
Yep. Yeah. That's the one.
Were you the, what was the nickname, the Pokes? Cow Pokes, or what were you?
We were the Rams.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people had some nicknames for us, though.
So you went to Des Moines, then when you graduated from high school?
Yep.
That's one thing you and I do not have in common. Mm. I not only do I have 4 years of college eligibility remaining, but two of high school, too. So you graduated from high school. Did you go on to college then?
I did.
Okay, where did you go to college?
Yep, so I went to Flagler College.
To what?
Flagler
College. I've never heard of Flagler College. Division 1, 2, or 3?
2.
2.
Division 2. It was in Florida.
In Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what did you major in?
Media production.
Media production?
Yeah.
What does that mean, media production? Being a producer like you are right now?
Yeah. It was more like video stuff, but I was always, I've always wanted to do this type of thing. So
is this your dream come true, sitting 100%. In that chair right now across from the Common Man? How many others have you worked with here on air people here at the Fan?
Pretty much everyone but the morning show.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, well, that's big time.
Or at least on the morning show.
That's big time.
Yeah, but,
nobody just slides into that chair.
Oh, I know.
Because that's a Chris Hockey spot. Because he sits in that chair, doesn't he?
Yeah.
During the show. Doesn't he sit in that chair?
Yep.
And then Cove is in the one I'm in, and then Sauce is who knows where, somewhere in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've worked with Big Ticket, Barrera.
I have.
And you've worked with PA.
Yep.
Do you enjoy working with those two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have to do a lot for them, like, leading into the show? Do they have any tasks for you? Or
it goes show to show. PA sometimes gives me some stuff to do, but, it's an opportunity to show what I can do. So, yeah, it goes show to show.
You don't have to do anything for me. Other than, you said you put together 5-3-4. That would be your only responsibility. Mm. Otherwise, you know what we do here?
Mm.
We wing it. Today is a Thursday, and I've thrown in the towel already on the week. It's a throw in the towel Thursday. The week's over, as far as I'm concerned. We've already failed miserably Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so why would I put any effort into Thursday? And then we'd mail it in on a FedEx Friday is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's worked for me for close to 30 years. Why would I change anything? It doesn't make any sense. Remember this. There was an old saying here at the radio station many, many years ago, less is more. So that leads me to believe the less I do, the more they like it. So that's what we're going to do. Well, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
You're in a dying industry. I hope you know. I would try to do more things online, more things on television, more YouTube-ish stuff. Get into that kind of production because I think radio's dying, except for the Common Man program.
That's right.
Radio's as strong as it's ever been. There have been rumors of radio's demise for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, there was a song once when MTV came on. What was the name of that? Killed the radio DJ. Okay.
Yeah.
Radio is red hot. It's getting stronger and stronger every day. So let me just tell you this. If you are an advertiser out there or you own a company and you're thinking about advertising, call this radio station or the Radio Advertising Bureau to find out more. And we will get you started on improving your business's business. That's what we do here. We'll take a break. Do you have a keyword? Do you know about that? You should have a keyword somewhere.
I do have a keyword.
Well, let's try to give away some. Speaking of making money, let's try to. I got the brains. You got the brawn. Let's give away some money. I got the brains. You got the brawn. Let's give away some money. What's that keyword?
The Fan's trying to put a grand in your hand with the National Cash Contest. A2KFAN.com. Enter the keyword school. That is school. KFN.com for your shot to win. More Common next.
Here's what I'll tell you. Ooh. I already love your choice of music. This is
Thank
so
you.
Good. This is Ambrosia.
Mm.
Biggest part of me, I'm going to say 1975, and I'm going to say it went to number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100. Will you look it up for me and tell us on the other side of the break? That's How Much I Feel by Ambrosia. I'm going to say 1975, and I'm going to say it went to number 4. We'll break. We'll come back with more nonstop nonsense, tomfoolery, and skullduggery next on The Fan.
iHeartRadio app.
Man program. I'm Common. Brent in for Tenna B. We're here till 3. Mark Rosen joins us at 2, and we turn it over to the main attraction, the main event, Big Ticket and JG. Really nothing better in Twin Cities radio. Maybe in radio all across the country, for that matter. Yesterday during 5-3-4, Tenna B, one of our favorites is programming predicament. What was I to watch yesterday? Would it have been the Wild taking on Vegas? Two teams that don't like each other very much. Probably on a collision course to meet in postseason play. A Wild have certainly had their number during the regular season. Then there was the Wolves and the I don't know if I want to call them the new look Wolves, but they've actually been more successful over the past half a dozen games or so. They're actually winning basketball games, playing a little defense, and the rookie wunderkind, Anthony Edwards, affectionately known as Ant, has been playing very well, and he was very good last night. And then there was the Twins. And I told Tenneby, I'm waiting for the playoffs to begin with the Wild, so I'm really not that interested. The Wolves are a terrible team in a terrible city with terrible fans and a terrible stadium. And then I thought, well, the Twins, though, because of their penchant for losing games in wildly entertaining ways, frustrating if you're a fan, wildly entertaining nonetheless. So I decided to stick with the Twins, and lo and behold, they did not let me down. They had an opportunity to win. They found another way to kick it away. They had one inning where they had the bases loaded and nobody out, and I don't think they scored a run, or maybe they got one across the board. But they only ended up scoring one run last night, and they lose to Texas 3-1. And again, another game in which it looked like here's the thing. We looked at this week with 4 against Texas and 3 against the Tigers and said, here's an opportunity to get to pile up some wins against a couple of bad teams. I think other teams are looking at us now and saying, here's a chance to win some games against a bad team, because it was not good yesterday. And I saw it in the crowd. Several people have sent me the screenshot of the sign that says Fire Rocco. I called for his head last week, mostly tongue-in-cheek, though I'm like a lot of others. I've been frustrated with some of the decision-making. It seems like it's so robotic, and it's so sabermetrics and analytics, where instead of, I think when it comes to most everything in life, I mean, there are some things, I guess if you're a certified public accountant, if you're a CPA, there's just hard and fast rules. I suppose if you're a doctor, there are hard, you don't all of a sudden go, I'm going to try a little something different on this quadruple bypass heart surgery. You know, I'm a feel surgeon, and I'm going to try something different here. But certainly in the world of sports and in radio as well, I'm going to try to do things a little bit differently. And you kind of go with your gut and go with flow of the game and how players are playing. And we never seem to do that. We did it again last night. We trot out a whole line of relief pitchers, and it seems like, lo and behold, one of them always fails to do what's been asked of them, and we lose the game. But now I'm annoyed. Now I'm actually annoyed at myself, because knowing what was going to happen last night, it was already preordained in my mind. I knew what was going to happen, so why did I bother watching? I missed Dollar Bill Kirill, apparently was brilliant again last night. We're down. Did you watch it? So you're familiar with the details. Did he score the tying goal and a go-ahead goal? Is that how it went?
Correct.
And exactly all within a two-minute span?
Essentially, yeah. He's nuts.
It's astonishing. I'd heard so much about him. You know, he'd been sitting over in the Soviet Union, or what was once the Soviet Union, right? He'd been there for a couple of years, and we were waiting for him. And for me, being the pessimist that I am, being the Mr. Negativity, this is the tough love covenant, not the love covenant. I'm not the purveyor of positivity. I'd probably be more the nabob of negativity. I thought, well, yeah, of course he's going to be good. You know, yeah, I'm right. Of course, sure he is. He's going to be spectacular, and he's going to come over, and he's going to rescue the franchise. I don't believe it. You know, that's what they said about Ricky Rubio, that when he finally came over from Spain, he was going to reverse the fortunes, change the direction of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and make them a winner and a contender, and it never worked out that way. I mean, Rubio wasn't awful, but he wasn't that transformational type player. So I thought, well, it's probably going to be the same thing with the kid from Dollar Bill Kirill. We didn't call him Dollar Bill Kirill then because we had no idea. We had high hopes, but no one knew for sure. And he is, he's been, I would say, better than advertised. Do you say better than advertised? Because I know there were high hopes, but I don't think I ever heard somebody say, once he gets in a Wild uniform, he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. Because I think he's the odds-on favorite now, right, to win Rookie of the Year. Is it called the Calder Trophy, I think?
Yeah, the Calder Trophy, yeah. I would say above expectation. I mean, I heard like some Calder rumors and some Calder talk before he came over, but he has more goals than Sidney Crosby right now. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's the same amount of goals as Ovechkin. He's totally turned it around.
Yeah, he's I've not watched every goal or every assist or every highlight, but I'm just, the ones I like, and I'm not a big slam dunk guy that doesn't do a lot for me. I think I've explained that the first time I saw a slam dunk, I went, whoa! Second time, I went, huh. And then the third time, it was followed by a, when you're 6'8", you should be able to. I see kids on my boys' AAU team that are 6'2", and they can slam dunk, so. It's, slam dunk is not that difficult to do, especially when they just clear the way for you. When they go, here he comes, and I have no interest in taking a charge here, so I'll just step back and let him go and soar like an eagle and slam dunk, and I will take the ball and we'll go the other way.
You don't want to get put on a poster.
End. All right. It's just, it's sad, really. But I like the little passes between his legs to himself, to teammates. He has such a, and I don't want to get carried away and do too much idolizing and pedestalizing because that's not what I'm about. But you know, he's almost like a magician out there sometimes. And then the Ant character last night goes off for 42. The numbers are astonishing. Was he 8 for 9 from 3-point range? Now 8 for 9 from 3-point range is impressive. Shooting 50% from 3-point range is pretty good. I think if you shoot 40%, you're considered a really good 3-point shooter. Steph Curry, I think, might be the best 3-point shooter in the history of the game statistically, percentage-wise. I think he's under 50%, isn't he? He's only like 40, probably. I don't know. Maybe you did. You ever look up that song, by the way?
I did.
And I think I'm wrong. I think it was later. It was probably 1980-ish, wasn't it?
I've got 78, 79.
Yeah.
That's what I've got.
Yeah. And what did it get to on the chart?
Got to 3.
I said 4, 1975, and I knew when I was walking away that it was later than that.
Mm.
I knew it was, and I wished I would have said that, but I was pretty close. So I'm sorry I missed that, and then I missed Ant last night, too, because he, like I said, was it 42 he went off for, and was he 8 for 9? I mean, the numbers he put up, and then what I gather, though, from the game is we lost, and what happened was at the end of the game, we went away from him, I think, is what I thought I read. Big Meow came back in the game, and it's his club, and I don't know. But too astonishing, maybe astonishing is a bit, getting a bit carried away, but two really great performances by the two youngsters, and I'm over watching the Twins blow another game, and it looks like they're on their way to doing another one here. They took a 1-0 lead, now it's 1-1, and there's Rangers all over the base path. So there you go. When we come back, I've got some controversial Vikings news I want to get to. The Aaron Rodgers saga. Is it wrong for me to think it's simply... I'm sorry, I can't. Misery loves company. I just think it's so much fun. So we'll get back into that a little bit as well. It's the Common Man program on what we affectionately call FM 100.3, The Fan.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my...
On The Fan.
Mm-hmm.
13, 14 so pass. Common Man program. I'm Common. He's Brent. In for Tennessee today. We go way back. We're tight. Aaron Rodgers song. I'm not sure if you're familiar with a reporter, a writer, whatever he may, whatever title he may go by. Michael David Smith. You familiar with the name?
Mm-mm, no.
He works for a PFT, also known as Pro Football Talk. His report says Packers think 49ers and Broncos tampered with Aaron Rodgers. Packers reportedly think some of the teams interested in trading for Aaron Rodgers have violated league rules by letting Rodgers know they're interested. According to Robbie Domofsky of ESPN, the Packers are upset that other teams, including the 49ers and Broncos, may have contacted Rodgers to see if he is interested in playing for them.
Oh my gosh.
However, the report says the Packers have not filed a tampering complaint with the NFL because tampering is incredibly hard to prove. Under NFL rules, a player under contract to a team cannot be contacted by representatives of any other team unless the player's current team gives other teams permission. So if the Packers decide to trade Rodgers, they could give other teams permission to talk with him about a trade. But right now, the Packers say they will not trade Rodgers and have not given any team permission to contact him. Those rules are sometimes enforced. For instance, the Chiefs signed wide receiver Jeremy Maclin in 2015. They were docked a 2016 third-round pick and a 2017 sixth-round pick because they contacted Maclin while he was still under contract with the Eagles. But generally speaking, the enforcement of tampering in the NFL is arbitrary, and the Packers would need a smoking gun evidence to get the NFL to do anything. If the 49ers or Broncos had some backdoor communications with Rodgers or his agent, there's probably not much the Packers can do about it. And I'm not even sure what you, so even if you could prove it, I don't know what would be, I don't know how it benefits Green Bay. It wouldn't change the fact that, well, we think it's a fact. I don't think there's anybody debating that the quarterback wants out. He wants nothing to do with Green Bay anymore, would rather not play there this season, would like to move on to what he would consider greener Bay pastures. So even if you could prove tampering, I don't know how it benefits Green Bay unless, like in this case with the Maclin thing, they were docked a third-round pick and a sixth-round pick, but it doesn't say that they went to the team that they were tampering with, though. It doesn't sound like that unless somebody knows better than I do that that's what happened. But it just sounds like it was, we found out you were tampering, we're taking a third to sixth from you, which would just mean your third-round pick is gone and your sixth-round pick is gone. I don't think they were awarded to the Eagles. If they were, that would be a benefit to Green Bay. If they could find out, if they could prove that two teams, actually indeed at least two teams, Green Bay and San Francisco, tampered with Aaron Rodgers by contacting him, engaging interest on how if he would like to work for those to play for those franchises, well then yeah, if they were docked a third and sixth and both teams were docked thirds and six a third each and a sixth each, and those that'd be two thirds and two sixths. And they would go to Green Bay. That'd be worth it. But I don't think I don't think that's going. The case would be they would just be docked. They wouldn't go to the team that tampered. So, and it would be difficult to prove unless you had, I guess, cell phone text message evidence, email evidence. Grainy video of, you know, Rodgers in disguise where he's, you know, he's got like a blonde wig on or something and he's meeting with somebody from the other team. And unless you have distinct evidence, it seems like it would be almost impossible to prove, which is what Michael David Smith has said there. Then there was the report yesterday. We talked a little bit about, I think, at 534. This is a Mike Florio piece, again, from Pro Football Talk. He says that according to Mike Garofalo of NFL Media Reports, that dating back to last season, Rodgers was telling teams, prospective free agents, before you make any decisions, I'm probably not going to be there. Now, that didn't stop David Bakhtiari or Aaron Jones from me signing with the team, but of course, money talks. I mean, for some of these guys, it's not even so much. I'd love to play with Aaron Rodgers. Gives me a better chance to win and get to that big game and maybe win a championship. But you go where the money is. But it says, the story reads, the question of whether they actually stay doesn't matter. The point is that Rodgers did the exact opposite of what most quarterbacks do. He didn't try to get other players to stay. He likewise didn't opt for the neutrality of saying nothing. If the report's accurate, there's reason to believe it isn't. Rodgers tried to undermine the team's best interest by putting them under the impression that he was on the way out the door. It's the latest evidence supporting the notion that Rodgers actively has been working to sabotage the team for which he has played since 2005. He created an issue that required at least three trips by members of the team's brain trust to California since the end of the 2020 season in a failed effort to resolve his concerns at a time when the men who made the trip surely had better things to do. So the rumor continues to be that they've done everything they could to try to mend fences with him, to convince him, you know, what's wrong? What are your issues here? If you believe the reports, he's absolutely adamant that he wants the general manager removed. He doesn't want to play for a team in where I think it's Gutekunst. I call him Goody. We got a pretty good vibe where Gutekunst is in charge of things. And if he did indeed, I mean, there's two ways to look at the sabotage thing. It's a bad reflection on number 12. That, I mean, you may not be happy there. It's sort of like in the radio business. Anytime they're going to let an on-air person go, they very rarely allow them, like 2 weeks, say, hey, Common, you're done, but we're going to let you work for the next 2 weeks. Because the fear is that the employee will be so bitter, so angry, that they'll go on the air and they'll just start a segment with a rant, expletive-filled rant, demonizing the radio station, the company, and everybody that works for it. Much to the delight of listeners, I would think, that say, oh, that funny Common got let go and he just popped a bolt and went nuts and just ripped everybody he worked with and everybody he worked for. That was funny stuff. The radio station doesn't find it amusing at all. So usually they tell you, you're done. Unplug your headsets. You're not going back on the air. And so in this case, Rodgers is doing the disgruntled DJ bit where it's like, I'm it's a scorched earth. If it is indeed true, and this story said they're not sure it is, there might even be evidence that he didn't tell free agents not to sign. But if he did, you know, it's a scorched earth policy. I'll leave nothing. I not only do I want to leave this franchise, but I want to leave it in a worse state than when I left. I'm assuming there would be free agents that would say, especially if they are skilled position type players, like a receiver, that might be delighted. God, I could have Aaron Rodgers thrown to me. Just think of the numbers I could put up. Just think of the free agent contract I could get or the raise I would get if my productivity went through the roof. And so in this case, he's basically telling people not to, you know, I'm not coming back. But that's also too, I'd want to know that if I was a free agent. And, you know, and again, it's, we don't live in a perfect world, and all is fair in love and war and scorched earth policy. So you can say you are going to, like, let's say you wanted to sign with Tampa Bay, and suddenly Brady announces he's retiring. Well, that's not Brady's concern. You know, that's what he's decided to do with his career. Same thing with Rodgers. If he decided he wants out, I don't think it's incumbent on him to start calling. How would he know who these would-be free agents would be? Does he just get a list and say, these, you know, how many players are there in the National Football League? About 55 a team, right? Is it 55-man roster? Is that what it is? 54, whatever it is. So times 30, 32, whatever it is, you do the numbers. 15, 16, 2,000 people, whatever the number is. What are you going to find out? How many of them are free agents? There's, you know, 486 pending free agents. I'm going to send them all an email. Tell them I'm not coming back? That doesn't make any sense either, but it gets uglier by the day. And the first thing I do in the morning is I look for my Aaron Rodgers wants to leave, and how's he sabotaging the Green Bay organization stories? And I'm sure we'll have more of those. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's 5:34, Brent. What do you have for us? Do you have a tease for us on the 5:34? Because generally, Tennessee tease is one of the questions.
Yeah, I've got some wild stuff, but also maybe a little devil's advocate for your Rodgers bet.
Oh, very good.
Ooh.
The Fan.
Pass here in the Common Man program. Maybe I should do a little Dylan DeWitt here. Oh, wait. Not the chorus. Let's do it another time. It's time for 5:34, brought to us by our friends at Casey's General Store. They're here for good. You have the open?
I do.
Time now for 5 questions. Well, actually 3, but 5 sounds like more than 4. Brought to you by Casey's General Store. Casey's here for good.
They are indeed here for good.
Question number 1.
Time now for an in-depth look at the state of the state of hockey.
We were born the child of the strong and wild in the state of hockey.
Despite losing last night, the Wild got into some rough stuff, defended for themselves. Still lost in overtime 3-2 to the pesky Golden Knights. Do you think the Wild can hang in a rough and tough game in the playoffs? Because they're more of a speed team now more than anything.
Was it rough and tough last night?
I think it was.
I did not watch it. What do you mean by rough and tough? Just real physical? Did they have any fights?
Oh,
it wasn't like Capitals Rangers, was it?
It was almost. It was that bad. Oh, yeah. So someone boarded Kaprizov pretty bad.
Right.
But it could have been like Chris Draper bad.
Oh, boy.
He ended up being fine. Foligno and the entire Wild team jump in there. It's a huge Donnybrook.
Oh, there was
Kaprizov gets into it. Oh, yeah. The whole thing.
I don't know. I know. Was it last night, the Rangers and the Capitals, like right at the opening faceoff, correct?
Yeah. Three pairs went.
It's the one part. I think it's embarrassing. And I know if you're a dyed-in-the-wool hockey fan, especially if you're old school, you'll tell me that, oh, you're just a wimp, you don't understand, stick to golf. In hockey, we have to police ourselves. Because, I mean, for instance, Kaprizov is your star player. There's no question about that. About to be the rookie of the year. Offensively, he's spectacular. And so if another team decides, we'll rough him up a little bit. You know, we're going to try to intimidate him a little bit. Well, okay. If they're doing it within the rules, which is hard checks, legal checks, that's all good. But if they start taking cheap shots, then, you know, the train of thought is, well, we have to take matters in our own hands. If that means dropping the gloves and fighting, that's what we're going to do. So they can stop fighting if they want. I've said this before. It's foolproof. That is, if you ever drop your gloves, you're suspended for the entire season without pay. No one would ever drop their gloves again, ever. They just wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the comeback to that, and I understand that as well, but then you could intimidate somebody. You could bash Kaprizov into the boards over and over and over again and take cheap shots and slash and hook and spear and all those things. And there's the other team cannot take retribution. Well, if the officials officiated properly, you know, you can make some, you know, majors and minors and suspensions. I don't know how many teams out there. Are there teams that are rough and tumble but can win hockey games and win playoff series and advance to a Stanley Cup. Are there teams that are filled with goons that can do that? My guess would be no. And I know back in the 70s, Philadelphia was able to do that. They were called the Broad Street Bullies, and they would go ahead and they could be physical and fight and do all the dirty cheap shots and could still win hockey games. I don't know if...
And the Blues practically did it 2 years ago, okay. Right? I mean, they had all the skill. They had skill, but they got there because they were physical and played very well on defense.
Okay. Well,
no.
I would say no, because I don't think that the if the rough stuff is within the context of the rules and you're not and the other team isn't facing penalties because of it, it's difficult. I guess it would be. I'll take your word for it that the Wild are not a very physical club, and they would end up on the short end of the stick. I would hope the referees would keep that cheap. Physical aggressive play within the confines of the rules. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that will benefit you and more power to you. But if you're cheap shotting guys and ramming guys in the boards and you're blindsiding them, and injuring them or putting them in peril to be injured, and it's illegal, something needs to be stopped. Yeah.
Question number two. It's time now for the latest gossip, chatter, hearsay, scandal, slander, and or scuttlebutt.
I like this. I haven't heard this open in a
long
time.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Of course, there's going to be gossip with the Rodgers bit
right.
For until it's done, basically. But former teammate John Kuhn, you remember, Kuhn, that yeah. Guy, the fullback, came out at a couple...
What did you say they did? I thought they were... They were booing him.
No, maybe here.
No, they were booing him.
Right. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, he came out...
You're a Packers fan, aren't you?
I plead the fifth. John Kuhn came out today.
Are you really a Packers fan?
I plead the fifth.
Well, no,
I'm not going to self-incriminate.
Well, you can't plead the fifth on the radio show. We don't have the same letters. You're a Packers fan?
I'm a bigger Wild fan. That's what I tell people.
You're a Packers fan.
The look on your face is...
Do you own a cheese wedge?
I don't know. I do own the piece of paper that says I'm an owner. I do own that.
No.
Yeah. It's framed in my apartment. I'm not happy right now. This is bad times. I'm just masking it.
You're an owner?
Yeah. Well, not really.
Did they put a... have you ever heard the movie The Invasion of the Body Snatchers? How did you become a Packer fan, of all things?
Whole dad's side's in Wisconsin.
Pardon me?
My whole dad's side is from Wisconsin. And well, yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, but your father didn't demand you'd be a Packer fan, did he?
I mean, it was kind of... Well, you know... I was named after Brent Favre, so yeah.
You were not named after Brett Favre.
I was.
I mean, I'm doing the bit Brent because your name is Brett. I always do that with any of the producers.
Oh, I know.
I'm generally tight with them. You were named after Brett Favre?
That's true.
Well, I was named after a Old Testament biblical figure, Daniel.
Mm.
Daniel in the lion's den. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. That's what I do every day. I was preordained to have this job. Don't you hate when people do that? You'll see a story about them, and they'll say, I was born to do this.
Mm.
Nobody was born to do anything. You just happen to have a knack for it, or you developed a knack for it.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I wasn't born to drop out of high school. I just decided I didn't want to go to high school anymore, that it wasn't doing me any good. I wasn't born to be in radio. I just looked around and said, I'd like to do something that really doesn't seem that it's that difficult, you know, or no manual labor. Hey, how about radio? Sounds like kind of funny. I mean, you just talk into a microphone? That sounds like a good deal. But you were named after Brett Favre.
Well, yeah, it's 96.
Is your right? Favorite number four?
When I was a kid, it was. Not so much now.
Do you have a Brett Favre jersey?
Probably in storage somewhere, collecting dust.
So you don't wear it anymore?
No. I don't, know.
Are you telling the truth? I swear. Okay.
So I was born in 96, and they were watching the playoffs in the hospital. Bing, bang, boom. There you go. True story.
They would have called you Kuhn.
Oh boy.
Johnny Coon.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
The question.
Yeah, well, I saw the story. I was actually saving that for myself.
Oh, I sniped you.
That's okay, though.
I'm sorry.
What, I didn't even read it yet. I was just going to ad lib it on there. What did he say?
So he said, quote, basically about the it's either me or Goody quote from Rogers. I don't think Aaron is that cynical of a person, no matter what differences they have. I can't see that being a direct quote. And then also, I still believe there's an opportunity at a resolution here. It'll take both men meeting in the middle so they're both happy. Your thoughts?
Well, Rogers doesn't seem to me to be a guy who would want to meet in the middle. I think he's had several girlfriends. And again, there's, I mean, I don't know what, if there was the race car driver. Mm. Was there another one? And I was on a third, I think, all together.
There's Olivia Munn?
Right. So actress, yeah. There was actress, race car driver. Now he's on to a third, and I maybe the third's a charm. And again, because those relationships ended, I don't know why, if they were his choice, her choice, if they were mutual, if he's a Richard to them like he is to his teammates and other people, he got McCarthy fired, I believe. I think that's the reason. And you can even say Mike McCarthy probably had to go.
I would agree with that.
But he definitely got McCarthy fired. He's bitter about this and bitter about that. He's kind of a baby, I think. But again, I'm just going by, all I can do is go by what's presented to me, the evidence that I see. And he doesn't seem like he's going to be a guy that would meet in the middle with Gutekunst. If he truly wants Gutekunst fired. Now, again, the proof is in the pudding, or the pudding's in the proof, when he, if all of this is indeed true, and I think most people believe that what's been reported is true, if they say, well, we're not trading you, he can't just go play for another team. He's under contract, so he would have to just sit out.
Yep.
And would he be willing to do that? That's the big question, is would he say, does he have the courage of his convictions? In other words, yeah, it's either we're not trading you. Okay, I'm not reporting. Okay, we'll just see when it comes down to, because I think there's now is there a mandatory mini camp or an OTA coming up soon? All teams have mandatory ones somewhere coming up. Will that be the first time he doesn't show up? And then do the Packers go, oh, he's serious. Maybe we better trade him. Or they go, well, okay, that's fine. We're willing. We are willing to go into the season without you here and not trading you. It will be interesting to see. I don't know what it could be. If he indeed, now Coon is saying he doesn't, what did he say? He doesn't really believe that's a direct quote, that he wants Gutekunst fired.
Yeah, he said, I don't think Aaron is that cynical of a person. I don't, no matter what differences they have, I can't see that being a direct quote from Aaron.
Okay. Well, if he indeed says, I cannot play for a team with this guy as the general manager, then the only way he plays, if he has the courage of his convictions, is if the general manager is let go.
Yeah. If you're a teammate that's not named Greg Jennings, you typically like him. But,
yeah,
you know.
You do?
I from what I've read.
Okay.
Yeah, anyways.
Question number 3.
That's one of my favorites that I found. The Twins lose again yesterday. They're lose. No, they actually just took the lead as we played the open here.
Okay,
but we'll roll with yesterday's game and the skid in general. Who do you blame?
Well,
for the Twins,
there's plenty to spread around. I mean, I'll start with ownership. They've never invested in top line pitching ever. I mean, they've scratched the surface. Barrios is a homegrown talent, pretty good, but he's not an ace. Maeda was really good last year. They traded for Maeda, but he wasn't homegrown, and he's been up and down so far this year. I think, as a matter of fact, he hasn't pitched very well as of late. Maybe his last start he was. I get his starts confused, but he's had some troubles this year. The front office relies too much on sabermetrics and analytics, I think. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not saying they don't have a place in the game, but it seems like they have this blueprint that they just go by. It's very rigid, and pitcher gets to a certain pitch count or something happens on the field and there's a certain matchup and lefty and righty and righty and lefty and all that, and they just go by it. And we talked about it yesterday about sometimes, you know, if you're going to use four pitchers in a game, the chances are one guy's not going to have his stuff. And if he doesn't have his stuff, that can cost you the game. And that's happened on numerous occasions to the Twins. We saw it with Colome. I think he's blown like three games this year. Waddell blew a couple of games back-to-back, or at least one for sure. He wasn't very effective in the game before. Rogers, again, has had his struggles. He blew the game the other night. And then there's just been players that there's been errors out in the field. There's been some sloppy fielding there. The Oakland game, the ones that stands out the most. The Day game in which they didn't give up a hit in the 10th inning, but they lost the game with two errors and a handful of walks. And there have been players that have just not hit the way Sano's. He got a hit last night, but hitting 111. So there's plenty of blame to go around. I don't think you can single out any one person. The manager, though, again, I sometimes wonder, like, for instance, the Waddell character. He was a free agent. We sniped him from Pittsburgh. Didn't want him. I think they released him. We got him. We brought him in. He was ineffective. What is today's day? Thursday. So what, was he ineffective? I think it was Monday. No, where was it? Tuesday. Whatever. He was ineffective one night. They went right back to him the next night in a tie game in extra innings. And he gave up a two-run home run and lost the game. It's like, why would you go back? I mean, I know you have to have faith and confidence in your players, but I'd rather give them another shot at it when it's 8-2, or, you know, you're winning 8-2 or losing 8-2. Now, there are people that would say, yeah, but it's a lot easier to pitch under those circumstances. Well, I know, but it's a lot. You can't get that game back now. And it still is early in the season, but, you know, Randball spelled it out pretty well in yesterday's Fish Wrap Factory West Side. We start going, okay, if you're going to look at how many wins does it take to win a division or get a wild card spot, the Twins would have to play at this kind of a clip, that kind of a clip. And the winning percentage they would have to win at is pretty gaudy. It's like, well, you got to get it turned around, and you got to get it turned around right now. So there is plenty of blame to go around, but the manager's made some head-scratching decisions, I think. But if I'm not mistaken, I think I read that Baldelli talks with at least Falvey, maybe both Falvey and Levine, every single day before the game. I don't know if it's an hour before the game, a couple of hours, and they talk about things, and they talk about sabermetrics and analytics. And so I don't know if they're the ones that say, it doesn't matter. If this happens, this is what we do. Because that's what the analytics and the sabermetrics tell us to do, which are averages long term. But boy, when it comes from night to night, I'm just more of a feel guy. I just am. So there's plenty to go.
And that's it for today's edition of Five Questions. Well, actually, three questions, but five sounds like more than four.
And it was brought to you by our friends at Casey's General Store. The Lee Rice combo features Casey's new barbecue chicken sandwich and a medium fountain drink for only $5. And during their Summer of Freedom sweepstakes, with each qualifying purchase with Casey Rewards, it's also a chance to bring country music star Lee Bryce to perform a live concert in your hometown. Go to caseys.com/rewards or go to the Casey's mobile app to find out more. You've got a keyword for us, my friend?
I do. The fan's trying to put a grand in your hand at the National Cash Contest. Head to KFN.com. Enter the keyword laugh. That is laugh on KFN.com.
Hey, Common Man here for Pentair Water Solutions. Hard water in your...
FAN Plus.
Rosen will join us just before 2 o'clock today. We'll get his thoughts on a little of this, a little of that, with the emphasis on the lat. You know, you would, during 5-3-4, you would pull the rug out from under me.
That's my fault.
I was relying heavily on, what's Kuhn's first name?
John.
Johnny Kuhn. Former Packer fullback. One of those, they booed him all the time, unmercifully, in Green Bay. I don't know why. Anytime he touched the ball, they would boo him. I don't know what he did to the fans or what he did to Green Bay. Sort of like when Matt Kuchar plays golf. And I know why Kuchar, because, you know, Kuchar was the guy that stiffed the caddy down in Mexico, and his regular caddy couldn't be there, and he won the event. And then he gave the caddy like $1,000, because that's what they agreed to. And it's like, well, no, you're supposed to give him 10%. Give him $100,000. And he finally did. He relented, because he knew that it was bad PR. You know, Matt Kuchar's made $40 million plus dollars in his golfing career. Just give the guy the money, which is what he finally did. But the Kuhn story, actually, the quotes run much deeper than that and are more revealing than what we had in 5-3-4. According to Pro Football Talk, Kuhn said, "I have talked to Aaron Rodgers. I won't say exactly what we talked about. I will say he's conflicted because this man loves to play the game of football. This man loves to be a Green Bay Packer."
Aww.
How emotional is that? Are you? I can see it's kind of hard because the glare from the sunlight outside, but it looks like your eyes are getting a little misty when you do this.
It's hard. It's hard for me.
"This man loves to be a Green Bay Packer, and this man truly sees careers. He's watched friends leave. He watched Brett Favre's career towards the end. He's watched all these things play out in front of his eyes. He's taken notes throughout his entire career. He's seen some situations that didn't feel were done or finished the way that they could or should have. And he's just trying to take his own destiny within his own hands. To that effect, I actually admire him because not many players in the NFL have that opportunity. I sure as heck didn't. I played until everybody told me that you can't play anymore. And it's a humbling feeling. And Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity to try and take a little bit of that power back." And it's exactly what I alluded to when this story first broke. I think more than anything, I call it Tom Brady envy. He's confirming what I believe about he's just trying to take his own destiny into his own hands. I call it Tom Brady envy. You look at Aaron's career, sat on the bench for a couple, 3 years, Favre leaves, he takes over, gets to a Super Bowl relatively early in his career, right? Was it 2010?
11, but yeah, the 2010 season.
2010, 2011, he wins the big game, they beat Pittsburgh. There's that famous quote from Danny Marino, former Dolphins quarterback. I think in his second year he went to the big game. And his quote was, "I thought this was going to happen a lot. I thought we'd be going back year after year." He never got back to another big game. And so I'm sure Rodgers thinking the same thing. You win one, it's like, hey, this is fun. There's no reason we can't do this again. I'm pretty good at what I do. Play for an organization that seems to know how to put a winning team together. And there's more to come. And there hasn't been. He's since then 0-4. It's Vikings-like. The Vikings are 0-4 in the big game. Rodgers is 0-4 in his last four NFC Championship games. And then he looks over and sees Tom. I want Tom. He sees Tom Brady. And Brady has won not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six big games with one franchise, you know, with New England. And then he leaves and goes to another organization, an organization that has won a big game, but an organization that, other than the Minnesota Timberwolves, if I'm not mistaken, the major four North American sports, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Minnesota Timberwolves have the two worst winning percentages of any of the franchises of all time. And I don't know if the Wolves are, you know, if their recent spate of victories, where they won like four or five games in the past couple of weeks. I don't know if that's lifted their winning percentage above Tampa Bay's can't change right now because it's the off season. But I don't know where the Viking or the Wolves stand there. But then he sees him leave and win again, and I'm sure Brady is like, I wouldn't even blame Rodgers thinking, wow, how cool is that? All he does is, now he's got seven of them. He's got one with a team. He left a team, and in the first year leaving, last year I said it's going to be the Falcons and the Vikings in the NFC Championship game, and you're on your own after that. That was my prediction. Of course, that's my prediction every year. I didn't see Tampa Bay. How many people predicted Tampa Bay? Maybe Tampa Bay and maybe Brett did. Tom did. But I don't think many people said, Tampa Bay's going to the big game. They're going to win the whole thing. And so to do that was, it's pretty amazing. In his first, the first time he plays for another team, was, and I'm thinking Brady and I think Rodgers is thinking the exact same thing. Why not me? Why not now? And the reports are, the people that know him, what's been leaked is that he was really annoyed by the Jordan Love drafting, which I still think is, I don't know why he'd be annoyed at that. That's having a competent backup, having a future quarterback. I mean, were you annoyed when, I know he was annoyed that San Francisco didn't draft him. But do you think he was annoyed when Green Bay drafted him and Brett Favre was there?
I think it's a component. I think that, along with the field goal thing with Jags, he could have ran it in the.
Well, that's Rodgers' fault.
Yeah,
The coach put him in a bad situation. I mean, Rodgers put the coach in a bad situation.
Yeah, no, and he
by
did.
By not running when he should have run, he tried to do the hero throw. He's got a little Brett Favre in it. Remember when Favre, 2009 NFC Championship game, ball across the body? Remember, ball across the body, picked off? Rodgers doing the same thing. Watch me force this in here and be a hero instead of running the ball.
Well, then also, I think, I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I read that he wanted an extension right out of the gate for this offseason, and the Packers said, no, like, we're not going to extend you, or you're going to restructure your contract. And that, I think that was kind of the last straw from what I've read.
What was the last straw?
Him not getting the extension that he wanted. Because he wanted a long-term deal, and the Packers were like, don't think so. The MVP.
Well, doesn't he have 3 years left on his contract right now?
I think is it three or two?
I thought it was three. He's got a contract. Do us a favor.
Yeah.
Get us to a big game, and we'll talk about a contract extension. You have failed miserably in four consecutive NFC Championship games. We're giving you everything you need to get there. We've obviously put the team around you. You got to four NFC Championship games.
Okay.
The job of a... Oh, what were you going to say?
Well, the 49ers bit. I mean, it's not his fault they gave up 73 points and couldn't stop the run to save their lives. 180-some yards before contact. You know, that defense was horrible.
Yeah, well, that'll happen sometimes.
Mike Pettine was awful.
Who?
The D coordinator of the Packers. Terrible. They got rid of him this offseason.
So you're going to blame...
I'm putting some of it, not all of it. All right. And then who could forget the onside kick that you probably think is delicious?
Very delicious.
Yeah. It's not like the offense struggled in all of NFC.
When you're paid that kind of money and you're the MVP, you're supposed to win football games. You're supposed to elevate the people around you. That's what Tom Brady does. Do you think he always had the best defenses, best offenses? Look at some of those offensive weapons he had over the years. He had Gronk, but...
Yeah.
Who were some of those wide receivers he had? None of those guys were that good. They were okay. He finds a way to win games. It's like, I think Rodgers is overrated. I really, truly do. I think he should announce his retirement.
Mm.
We'll take a break, and maybe I'll announce my retirement on the other side of the break. Mark Rosen will join us about a half hour from now. Controversial Vikings news coming up next here on the Common Man program on The Fan.
AFAN.
You must be lost in a faraway land. I'll search forever your footprints in the sand. I feel you need me. I have to answer.
13:14 Fast Common Man program. Mark Rosen waiting in the wings, chomping at the bit. Can't wait to get on the air. Devil's advocate on the other side of the glass, known as Brent, big Packers fan, named after Brett Favre. I think you're nervous.
Why's that?
Well,
what gave it away?
Rodgers is. Do you like your new starting quarterback,
Teddy?
No, the Love character.
I mean, I don't know much about him yet. I mean, I've heard that he looked awful, and I heard that he looked, and the Packers love him, so I don't know.
But what's his first name again?
Jordan.
Jordan. Just think. Had your mom and dad met at a later time, your name could be Jordan. Think about that. Eventually, could there will be a kid somewhere who will be, the parents will be in the delivery room, and Jordan Love will be leading the team to a big game, to the NFC Championship game, leading them to like a 3-14 record. And they'll go, I'm going to name. Think of when Rodgers leaves and they don't hit the trifecta. Everyone that follows, the Packers specifically and the NFL in general knows that that team has had two starting quarterbacks over the past about 25 years, is it? Is it longer than that even?
Yeah, I think Favre, I think, was in 92 that he debuted, so yeah.
So 92, so 92.
Almost to, 30.
92 to 02.
As long as I've been alive.
To 12.
Yeah.
It's almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. Two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Vikings have oftentimes used two quarterbacks in one game. It's been so bad for them. And unless you hit the trifecta, it's going to be just like watching the purple trot out Gus Frerotte, Tavares Jackson. What do you think if your Jordan Love guy's an ex Christian Ponder?
Oh
no,
they would not know. It would be, and you would know what it's really like to be either a Kitties fan or a Vikings fan, to see what it really is to just go. You try to find redeeming qualities in whatever quarterback you have, even though you know deep down he's not the guy. You're not going to win the whole thing. I mean, even with our latest NFC Championship game appearance, it was the Case Keenum. Was that his name, right? Case Keenum was a Vikings quarterback that got him to the NFC Championship game. Even there, a lot of things. It was a magical season for him.
It was a miracle. It
was once in a lifetime. Just never. He left, I think, signed with Washington, and he's never came close to achieving what he did that year in Minnesota. But you were trying to find, he can think on his feet, and he can move around in the pocket, and he might not be this. So you're always looking for more positives than a negatives, because everybody knows the quarterback position is the most important position, not only on the gridiron, but it's the most important position and individual position in all of team sports.
He's great with the Microsoft Surface.
Yeah,
great.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That you're looking for, you're looking for any positives you can, but deep down you know that it's really, and we've seen mediocre quarterbacks or maybe slightly above not only succeed but win championships. The examples everyone uses: Brad Johnson used to quarterback here. He won a big game with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay. He wasn't an awful quarterback, but he certainly, when you start listing who are some of the best quarterbacks you've ever watched play, Brad Johnson's not going to come. No one's going to say Brad Johnson. No one. They're just not going to. Maybe Brad would. Maybe his wife, and maybe kids and mom and dad. And that's, I'm not ripping Brad. He had a terrific career, and he's got a big game ring. Trent Dilfer with Baltimore. And there's several others. Jeff Hostetler won one with the Giants under Billy Parcells. So you can do it, but boy, without that guy, and you just spin your wheels, and it becomes trust me, I've seen it. In Minnesota and Detroit, we've lived it. Some teams, as Brett just said, he's never experienced it. Ever since he's been alive, he's had just two quarterbacks, two guys you could rely on. That, it's not always going to be they're not going to win every game, and there will be times. I mean, I think Favre was a bit on the maddening side because, you know, he would oftentimes make a blunder. He would throw that interception. I remember back in the I think it was the NFC Championship game at Lambeau when it was like 59 below or whatever with the wind chill. They were against the Giants. It was the Giants won the big game with Manning and Favre threw an interception late in the game. I think it was in overtime, as a matter of fact, and it cost him the game. Did the guy return it for a touchdown to win? Do you remember that game when Favre against the Giants in the playoffs?
I just remember I was young, but okay. I remember the winning field goal, I believe.
Okay, snow. So that's right. It was a field goal, so it was not a return for a touchdown, but. So he would, you know, with Favre, you had to take the good with the bad. And I can accept that. I really can. I mean, I like the gunslinger mentality. I know that at times it can be maddening and it can cost you not only games, but it can cost you seasons, you know, like it did there. You know, it's like it did the Vikings when, you know, they enjoyed everything about the Brett Favre season of 2009 till the very bitter end when he dropped back to pass. If you know, everyone knows the story. Throws the ball across his body. He probably could have run for a few yards, at least, you know, much like Rodgers last year in the NFC Championship game decided not to run and threw it across his body. Not as dire. It didn't get picked off, but it led to the decision by the coach to go for the field goal. And then if you've watched it, and if you look at the film, you can see it. Berrien is about 10 yards down the field, and there's nobody very close to him. So we could have flipped it to Berrien. So there were three options there. There were flip it to Berrien. Maybe he didn't see him, I don't know, but flip it to Berrien, run the ball, or throw the ball across your body. He chose ball across the body that lost the game. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's you have to take the good with the bad, but if indeed he does leave, get used to it. Unless Jordan Love is the answer, or if there is a trade due, let's say they do trade with Denver. Wasn't the rumors that Denver was going to include one of their, don't they have a quarterback that's a couple, 3 years? Is it Locke?
Yeah, there's Drew Locke, yeah. Or there's Teddy, whichever one you prefer.
Yeah. My guess is the Packers would probably, Locke is younger, right? He's had less chance to prove himself, right?
Had to have.
So they probably take him, but good luck with that, too. So then you've got, you know, Lock or Love. And I don't know which decision would be better. But, again, we're not there yet, but it kind of looks like that's probably the direction we're heading. I had talked about controversial Vikings news. It's really not controversial. It's just like as I was thinking post-draft, and maybe I'll talk with Rosen about this as well, is – I remember leading up to the draft, it's always the running joke is that, well, Zimmer's going to draft a cornerback. He always does. You know, every year the Vikings draft cornerback, and everyone expected the Vikings to select one. They did, but I think he's going to be moved to safety. So they've not selected for the first time in ages. As long as Zimmer's been here, I don't think a year has ever gone by where they haven't drafted a cornerback, not quarterback, but a cornerback. And, I don't know what that. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think they're expecting, they must be expecting, Peterson, to be able to return to the thrilling days of yesteryear or get close to that, because I think they expect him to play a lot. They're expecting Dantzler to take a big step, and I don't know what they're thinking about Gladney, because I don't know if he'll play or not. I mean, he's in some legal hot water right now, and the charges are. Obviously, extremely serious, and if you were unable to play, I know they brought what's his name back, Mackenzie Alexander. I mean, and I think he's a quality player, but I don't know if he's a guy that you go, boy, you know, check that box off. Now we're fine in the secondary, but I guess it all remains to be seen. Let's do this. Let's take our final break of the 1 o'clock hour. Marky Rosen standing by, the legendary Mark Rosen. He'll join us next, right here on what we affectionately call FM 100.3, The Fam.
Must come down, spinning wheel, got to go round.
Dominic!
take a breath of the northern air and rub those eyes gently flecked beneath the starry sky. Before you climb the mountain, first the foot.
Think you're Warren Beatty? Go ahead, take your time. Nice you to show up.
I'm always on time.
What do you think you're Warren Beatty?
What does that mean?
Well, Carly Simon wrote the song.
Oh, you think the song is about you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You walked into the studio you're walking into a yacht. And what do you think? I mean, it's like
in a North Star mask. Kind of Barbara gave me today.
Show up anytime you want.
Well, I kind of. I thought about
it. I have the TV on for you with your little
game. I'm shocked. I
turned it on. That's the one time. It's the new me trying to be more.
What is happening to you?
Trying to be more
benevolent.
Yeah, that would work.
Sympathizers.
Yeah. Trying to be more agreeable. Trying to be. I try not to be as big a Richard.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
When do they pull the plug on the Miguel Sano experiment? He's over 3 today, man, with 3 strikeouts. Chance to blow the game wide open just now. Runners at the corners, 2 outs, and the last pitch he missed by a country mile. I mean, they threw this little, I don't know if it was a sinker, slider, mm-hmm. slurve, mm-hmm. split mm-hmm. finger, whatever it was, but it just dropped out on him, and he just flailed at it. And that's now today, 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts, batting 120 on the... He came back last night.
Yeah,
he had a single. He knocked it into down in the left field, but made an okay play at first base. Drew a walk.
Right.
But I guess the question you really can't answer. It's not like today they're gonna cut him or trade him or send him to St. Paul. But mm-hmm. it's getting to the point where they just can't rely on him. It's almost like letting the pitcher hit. It really is.
Oh yeah. It's sometimes worse. Some of the pitchers are probably better at making contact right now than Miguel Sano. I don't know how to answer that. I think because he's trying to get the rust off, but he wasn't hitting the ball before he hurt his hamstring. Yeah, I mean, he's been rusty since the opening gate. So
swinging like a rusty
swing. Gate. Yes, exactly. It's a tough one to answer. You have to look at Sano, and we talked about it. I mean, they had to get him back in the lineup with Kirilloff out now. It doesn't look like, fortunately, after the early reports of his demise, it sounds like it's not going to be as serious as they described, as some of the scribes were saying. So that's good news, but it's still going to be out for an undetermined length of time. The Nick Gordon kid getting his first major league start today, got a walk and a hit in his first 2 at-bats, stole a base, so he's making a nice contribution. But, yeah, I don't know what to say about him. I mean, you're right, he's flailing. He doesn't look... He's not like, oh, man, he had a loud foul ball, I think, last night. I saw that. That was kind of it. He made a really nice, you said, really nice defensive play last night. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know what you do with him at this point when you have to stick him in the lineup and try to let him battle his way out of this and what his mindset is. I mean, even the greatest hitters of the game, they pick up the box score doesn't lie for the most part. It's all there for the world to see, and you have an offer, and it starts playing on your mind, and you got to battle through that mental stuff. And not only that, at least he's at first base, but as he's sitting there at first base, he's stewing about it. Like, what do I have to do? Do I have to carry my hands lower? I got to take up, I don't think he's getting peppered with the batting coach throwing a bunch of stuff in his ears, much like a golf coach can't sit there and tell my guy, Bryson DeChambeau, what he's doing at the Masters to correct that slice or whatever he's doing at that particular time. His caddy might say something. But, I don't think we can say a heck of a lot right now during a game. He's just got to fight his way through it. So, but you're right. He might just get fortunate and just make contact and hit one over the fence. But that's not what you want from this guy. He's got to – it's depressing, honestly.
I just came up with a saying that I'm going to let you use anytime you want.
Okay, let me write this down.
The Major League Baseball season isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. And you can use that.
I think it's, when I've used it before, I say it's a marathon, it's not a sprint.
There, you've used this before?
I have used it once or twice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's first week of May. We're six or seven games out of first. But Rand Ball, I don't know if you saw his piece. I alluded
to it. You asked me. I did. I never did see it, no.
It was basically, all right, it is early, but if you look at, you know, what generally it takes to win the division, how many victories, and then how many victories it needs to get into, you know, to get a wild card spot.
Correct.
They got to start winning pretty quick because it's like the winning percentages that they would have to achieve in order to get to that, to those victory levels that are generally, I mean, look, the Twins won in, was it 87 when they won their first World Series?
Yes.
They only won 85 games,
They stumbled at the end as well after clinching in Texas. I remember I was in Texas when they clinched, at that point, the Western Division title. And they clinched in Texas, and then they sputtered at the end of the regular season. That's why they were...
Okay, but generally 85 games ain't going to win you.
No.
It's not going to get you a wild card spot either.
No.
So in other words, and I don't have that piece in front of me that Rand Ball did, but the winning percentages were pretty gaudy. It's like, boy, with the way they've been playing, there's nothing to lead...
Oh.
There's nothing to lead me to believe... That they're going to start winning. You know, from what I've seen, it's not like I go, you know what? I think they're about on the verge to start playing like that and winning that kind of game. So if they don't do it in a real hurry, even though it is early, and of course, if the teams in in your division collapse, if they just start playing, because again, you're not just playing within your division; you are playing all over the league. And if they start,
it's not like the NHL,
right? If they start playing and started getting battered by the Yankees and the Angels and the A's and the Red Sox's, you could win a division maybe with 87, 88, 90 wins, but it needs to happen. And there's really, it seems like every game, it's all in one thing we can rely on is somebody in the bullpen is not going to pitch well. If they use four guys, if they use a starter and three bullpen guys, one guy's not going to play well.
Right.
Somebody's going to have a gaffe in the field and they're going to leave guys on base because some guys just can't seem. And we know you can't drive in every run. You're not winning every game, but it's with the expectations for this team where they were coming off the last couple of years with the way the organization themselves said, was it last year when they were doing the other one? No, we're freely talking World Series. So you know they were freely talking about it this year.
Yes.
And to play like they have, you talk about underachieving, and they're behind the eight ball. They really are.
No,
they're winning today, but it's still a close game.
I mean, it's 3-2. That could change in a heartbeat. And then, the Rangers have all the confidence in the world of finding a way, even up to the ninth inning of winning game. And again, this is the stretch of games when you look at Texas and Detroit. Where the good teams, this is what the Twins have done in the past. Remember, they beat up on the Oswalds, as you like to call them. And that's what you have to do, and then play 500 ball against the really good teams, which I include the White Sox in. I mean, if you think you're going to go on a roll, I mean, you got Detroit and Detroit this weekend, and then go to Chicago. If you think you're going to go in and sweep the White Sox, it's just, it's not going to happen. And you're going to end up, if you split the series, you go, okay, that's okay, that's acceptable. As long as you're beating up on these other teams, and obviously it comes with to how you play within your division, but White Sox are going to be really tough on them. Their pitching is outstanding. Cleveland's, they've already played Cleveland. Kansas City they haven't faced yet, or they faced Kansas City. I'm trying to remember. Anyway, Kansas City seems to be slipping a little bit now, which is not unexpected. But they're still very much in a very tight race. I mean, theoretically in the American League Central. And the White Sox have had some injury situations and other things going on. They're not playing as well as people thought either, but a little different. And again, the Twins can circle the wagons and go, they're 0-6 in extra inning games, and that's the kind of, is that a fluke? I don't know. I mean, it's not a fluke when you lose six in a row. I mean, in extra innings, it's not like, your bullpen just hasn't done its job and you haven't got clutch hitting. That's, to me, what it summarizes in an extra inning game where you get the quirky rule now where you start with a runner on second base.
Right.
It's just it's like 3-on-3 hockey. I mean, you're not good enough right now to win games like that. You don't lose six in a row because, oh man, tough break here, tough break there. No, you're just not as good as the other team.
So they're going to the bottom of the sixth. Twins have a 3-2 lead. Big Mike, he's been okay. You know, he's leaving. I think he's leaving with a lead. The only reason I say that, he's up to 87 pitches.
Uh-oh.
And they've got, what's his face? Is it Robles?
Robles is warming up.
He's warming up in the bullpen. So my
pitched well the other night. Yeah. Well, I better keep him in there for two innings.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. If he's awful in his first inning, it probably isn't fair to the manager to go, oh, why did you keep him in? Because you do have to put some guy in the game. You have the bullpen you have, so you have to use the players that are available. But it will be interesting to see, like you say, if Robles comes in, and let's say he's effective. Let's say, he gets a 1-2-3 inning, or maybe one guy scratches out a single and he gets out of the inning.
Yep.
If all of a sudden they go, well, now we go to the seventh inning guy. And it's like, well, no, do you really have to do that? I mean,
You don't.
For instance, what if Robles goes in there and he goes 1-2-3 rather easily? And let's say he goes to the seventh and goes 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have to go to Rogers at that point, or do you have to go to Colomay?
Well,
you don't have to do anything.
You don't have to, but again, the Robles, they probably look at him and go, well, he's sort of, the makeup is that he's a two inning guy at the max, and, he's probably 30 pitch, 35 pitch max, and that's probably where they're going to have him. Why you come to that conclusion? How do you come to that conclusion when you're talking about these really strong, these guys are preparing for this their entire lives. They can usually pitch through some things, and that's the thing that kind of gets me. I always wonder, how do you come to that conclusion that pitcher A or pitcher B is not capable of giving you another effective inning? Everybody can see if you're getting hit hard, like, the Waddell character the other night. You could see Texas was teeing off on him right away. If that's not happening to Robles, then leave him in. I don't know how you come to that conclusion that you can't treat every pitcher the same, with the same attitude, and because this is the way we talk about it in our pregame clubhouse meetings with the coaches. So we'll see what happens.
Okay,
that's all you can say. But it's they were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position last night. That's just bases loaded, nobody out, and then you just watch
that was the killer.
That was the game. That was it.
That's
relief pitching.
That's where you're supposed to smell blood.
Yeah,
break the game wide open. Couple of big hits, clear the bases, score 4 or 5, and
that's it. It's over.
It should be a laugher at that point.
Yeah.
But they haven't been able to do that.
Right.
You like G. Cinco, don't you?
I do. He's up right now.
He's got to a nice little start. Like you mentioned, walk. He's got a base hit, stolen base.
Yeah.
Play in the field.
Got some speed.
And you got Kirilov. What a farm system we have.
Wait till you see Royce Lewis. Wait till you get a hold of him.
Yeah. Well, he'll be here eventually.
No, he will.
Unfortunately, what did he have? The knee injury? They had to have surgery.
I don't know where he's at right now.
But that's what it was, right?
Yeah. I think it was a while.
I think it was a knee.
Yeah, he's had some issues as well with some injuries in the minors. But they're not going to, again, like with Buxton's situation, and we've seen what Byron Buxton's been doing. You got to let the kid just kind of play this thing out and hopefully get here another year or two.
I don't know if you saw the sign in the stands behind.
I sure did last night. I cracked
Fire
up.
Fire Rocco. Oh, you find it funny?
I mean, some people had the right sense of humor about it. I mean, for him to get in a situation where, again, the Champions Club is not hardly filled right now because there's just a few people down there. I know they're not even having their usual four course meal in the Champions Club because of COVID right now. So,
right.
You don't see many people sitting behind there, but that guy got down there. It didn't last very long, but he had to sign up there long enough to get a quite the reaction on Twitter, that's for sure.
The people that actually purchased those tickets, obviously when you're looking at the Champions Club, you don't always see the same people right behind
them.
No. Because they give them away to pals and such.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of the corporate tickets.
And the guys that have it are well-to-do, and the guys that are well-to-do, they don't go to games when it's 50 degrees.
No.
Sorry. They only go to games when it's 70-plus, sunshine, and the Champions Club is open for the fourth.
That's what I'm saying. That's the big attraction, is that it's quite the spread there.
You ever had the... Nope, G-Cinco just struck out. I'd send him back to St. Paul.
Exactly.
He needs some work on his swing.
Yeah. Have I ever what?
You ever been to that Champions Club?
A couple times.
Nice, isn't it?
Very nice.
Tell us what it's like, because most of us don't get that opportunity. So
you wouldn't go. Let's just establish the fact that if somebody left two Champions Club tickets on your windshield, you would go, what happened?
Now, let me ask you something. So. When you get there, do they go, Mr. Rose, did they show you to your seats? They bring
no,
you down.
No, it's just like a, no. Oh. Just ask the usher which way I'm supposed to go. And right. I mean, you know, Dark Star made that place famous. You know, that's for sure.
Do those big chairs? They look like lazy.
They're very cushy.
Recliners. Do they recline?
No.
Oh.
No, they don't recline.
Are they massaging? I mean, like, do you press a button and they massage?
They're just really comfortable. And if it's really cold, they'll give you a blanket.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have foot warmers there, too?
I don't think so. I don't know. I've never really.
And then what's that?
I'm from a tough guy town. I went to the Met Stadium when it was 10 below.
What's that food like?
It's outstanding. Really? I mean, it's.
Like, what did you have? You've been there several times, so it's hard to remember.
I haven't been there several times. No. I mean, it's basically whatever you want. I mean, it's a smorgasbord of
really
spare ribs and roast beef, depending on how you like it. And again, for extra treats, you got malted milk balls, you got hot dogs ready at your disposal, you got frosted malts.
You got I can't really see the players because I'm way out in the bleachers.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and
now you can see him fine.
And then, you know, I'm always eating a dome dog is all.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, but boy, I'd sure like to have some of that roast beef. I like it.
Yeah, well.
You do it with horseradish?
Absolutely. You have to have it with horseradish. It's the only way to have it. I'm not a real rare roast beef guy. I like it a little.
Yeah,
a little
I do. John, I'm with you. Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, so though they have a nice spread. And they have, you know, it's a day game. They have brunch.
Gosh.
A few times. Pull. What is Dark Star about the valet parking?
You hand the guy $20 to say, take good care of it. It's the only one I got. And when you come back, there'll be two people there with the doors open. Yeah,
yes.
For you and whoever you may be with. And you give them $5 and you're on your way. And people will say, well, you just gave him $25 and you didn't get anything. And I said, I just gave him $25 and I didn't have to do nothing.
Nothing.
Which is true. He didn't have to do a thing.
I said, Hartman backed into his car once.
Well, because when you think about it.
Yeah, it's true.
If you're going to park at the ramp,
mm-hmm.
What's it cost to park at the ramp at the Target Field ramps?
The official one?
It's got to be 10, 15, 10, 20 yeah, 10, bucks, 12 right?
Bucks. I mean, they don't gouge because I think the city owns them. It's not quite like.
Okay.
Like Viking parking, where you see sometimes it's like $25 or something for a game.
Oh, it's even more than that.
If not more.
Right next to the stadium, it's $40.
Yeah, it gets up there. But those are privately owned.
Right. So let's say
the city has to regulate it.
So let's say you spend $15 on parking.
Yeah.
Well, for an extra $10, they bring your car right to you. It's almost worth it. I mean, if you got the extra $10.
Sure.
I think it's almost better to do the valet because you don't have to do nothing, then you don't have to walk.
But you can't valet park at the Champions Club unless you have Champions Club tickets.
Right. Let me guess, you've done Lexus Club too, haven't you? Over at the
Tim Rolls?
Yeah. Lexus Club. What's that like? Tell me what Lexus Club's like. Do they give you a Lexus after the game?
Oh, they don't give you a Lexus. I've only been there twice.
Only. And let me ask you the same thing, food.
They have food there. Yeah, they have food there. One time they had a jersey thing for me at halftime. It was very nice. I got to fight my family and friends for that.
I've heard if you're
that was a special night.
I've heard on special nights like yours, there's actually someone that will feed you grapes. Were you fed grapes at the Lexus Club?
No. I had people throw grapes at me.
Yeah,
I think it was you from the cheap seats.
What did the Wild do? What's their place called?
I don't know. I've
that's how you don't go to
them. No. I was at the Wild game with my daughter on Saturday night. They have a club down there, I think, but I don't think it's, I don't know that. I know there's a place down by the locker room. I've seen people in and out over the years, but I don't know what their special club is.
How about Vikings? What do they do there?
Well, they have their suites. I mean, you know, iHeart has a suite.
Have you been there?
I popped in there because it's near the press box. I mean, last year was, of course, a totally different situation. No fans and nobody in the suites other than we, the PA and what we had our own the broadcast suite. But there was, you know, we basically, I brown bagged it. Literally every home game last year. I'm not kidding. I brought my lunch every time.
I don't begrudge you. I mean, I
brought my lunch.
You're the legendary Mark Rosen. Should be.
But I was not, yeah, I was.
Treated like a king.
Well, it's not being treated like a king. I mean, the Vikings food, all the years covering the Vikings, whether it's at Metrodome or at U.S. Bank. I mean,
here's an email that says, something on Champions Club question.
Yep.
It says, do they provide a brandy snifter, or does Rosie bring his own?
I bring my own.
You bring your own. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
We okay now? Things good?
Think so.
Okay.
Think we're set.
Well, let's hope so. We'll go to break. We'll come back. While the Twins failed last night, matter of fact, all three home teams ended up losing.
Yeah, and then one
way or another. Two of the games were, they had some scintillating performances.
They sure did.
And so we want to talk a little bit about that. And we'll do that on the other side of the break with Mark Rosen. We call this the Common Man Program on what we affectionately call FM 100.3, The Fan. Common here for Pentair Water Solutions. If you've noticed...
On The Fan.
Show us your captain's crew, and you could win a weekend stay plus a round of golf up north at Madden's on Gull Lake. To register, just post a photo of you with your crew on social media with the hashtag KFAN Captain's Crew.
Like a beautiful child growing up free and wild.
Full of hopes and full of fears. Full of laughter, full of tears.
Full of dreams
to last the years in Seattle.
That's Dylan DeWitt for you there. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. He's Brent. He's actually Brett. Did you know he's named after Brett Favre?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That big of a pack of Rube?
When his mom and dad were... Well, he didn't
really?
Name
really?
Himself. His,
well, I know he didn't name himself. I assume that.
He does, but he has said that if he had his choice, he would change his name, and it would be Bart or Aaron. one of the two.
Bart sounds Bart. A lot...
I would choose Lynn. Lynn Dickey, remember?
Yeah, I remember Lynn Dickey.
Or how about
the Packers?
Scott
we talked
Hunter.
About. Yeah, they had a bunch of really mediocre quarterbacks for many years, unless you... Well, I think we got a tie game. The Bucks didn't get hurt.
Is he hurt?
I don't know. Well, so much for Robles.
That was fun.
Yeah. No, Buxton looks like he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. That's the good news.
It didn't look good. It looked like he broke his wrist on the top of the fence.
I was thinking, just let him go.
I'm serious. I thought he broke his wrist on the top of the fence.
Yeah,
watch this.
I know. It's.
It looked because he reached over the fence and it looked like he came down really hard on it.
Yeah.
Oh, he just absolutely destroyed
well,
it.
Well, so much for.
Here he goes. Now watch.
Yeah. God, he gets up there. Yeah, he banged his.
Banged his glove. Well, it's padded. I guess it's not as bad when you watch it in slow motion. Yeah, that was.
No, he looks like he's okay. He's padded.
He's okay.
But the ball went over the fence.
Indeed. Let's take a couple of phone calls that have trickled into the Common Man program, including this one from Chess Master Guy. Chess Master, what's up?
Hey, yeah, hi. So, couple things. One, Brett, you got to make sure to ding when somebody mentions somebody important. In this case, somebody went to the Wild game with Mark Rosen's daughter. That definitely deserved a ding. You know, not everybody gets to hang out with her.
No, not everybody does.
Oh.
So I guess the main thing I was calling in about was Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, and people are saying, oh, he won't retire. There's too much money, this and the other. Well, I mean, Jim Brown retired, and he won the MVP the year before he retired because he got mad at management. And the same thing with Barry Sanders, and he was doing great that year too. He had almost 2,000 all-purpose yards. He retired because he was mad at management.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers has more than enough money, and he could obviously go do something else, anything. He'd probably get $20 million for commenting on CBS about football or something like that. So it's not like there isn't more money out there for him if he wants it.
What if he did this? What if he decided he wanted to, like, host a game show, let's say Wheel of Fortune?
Or Jeopardy.
Or something like that. Yeah,
Jeopardy. I'll pay him $20 million to do that.
Yeah, Jeopardy sounds like it would be up his alley.
He's getting ready to get married. He could start a family.
Right.
Spend a lot of time
No, Chessmaster guy, I get what you're saying. There is a possibility he could retire.
The difference is Rodgers has made it clear before that he wants to continue playing.
That's
for quite
it.
A while. Barry Sanders and Jim Brown, as dissatisfied as they may have been, Sanders never went public with his dissatisfaction with the Detroit Lions that I'm aware of. You're closer to the kiddies.
I don't think he did, no.
I just think, I'm done. I'm sure it was a combination of a lot of things. Jim Brown, a little different situation. I mean, Robert Smith left a lot of money on the table with the Vikings. They offered him a lot of money to come back and play running back for the Vikings. He said, I have other things I want to do with my life, and I really don't want to risk any more injury. So he turned down.
There have been other players that have done that recently.
Plenty of players.
Just said, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm done. But Rodgers has.
Including Andy Luck? Andy Luck could still be playing a quarterback position. He can play 40 years old if you want, right? And he retired, I think, because he got you're laughing at me or smiling. Am I wrong about that?
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Brent. Oh, no, I just thought like you were going like, God, Common, you're insane.
No, because I'm an easy laugh. Oh, okay. I'll laugh at anything.
Because didn't Andy Luck retire basically because of injuries?
He had a bunch of them.
I think that's why he
retired. I assume that's why he did.
I think that's why he retired.
Don't want to do this anymore.
Let's take a phone call from Brian. Brian, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going well, Brian. How are you? What brings you to the program today?
I was just calling about the Lexus Club experience that I had a couple years back last year. It was one of the worst Timberwolves games ever. Pelicans versus Timberwolves. And Zion and Towns both sat out.
Oh, nice.
And we got to sit right behind Ben Lieber. And he actually stuck out the whole game, stayed the whole game.
He did. He stuck it out, huh? So you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. Well, that's the championship, particularly in the NBA, where guys rest. I remember.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I remember I went to, it was so long ago, Kobe was playing. And we went to go see Bryant play, and he was out resting for the playoffs.
It's a chance you take. I mean, I mean,
that's the way it goes. Well, there are no guarantees. When you buy the ticket and guaranteed to see, but how many people pick and choose the games they go to, and they'll spend the extra money? Because don't they also price a lot of these games? I know the Twins do, right? Don't they have
Yankees games? I think some of the other ones are specially.
They charge priced. More, correct?
I don't think it is that way for the NBA. Okay. But you are. If you're a parent, want to take your kid to a game or two, and you look at the schedule and go, yeah, I want to go see the Greek Freak play. Milwaukee's here once.
Right.
I want to go see LeBron when he comes here with the Lakers. And you take the risk of injury or, more importantly, sitting out. I remember doing that once, I think, when Phoenix, I took my kid to a game and I paid good money for those tickets. And Barkley didn't play and so-and-so didn't play and they were resting.
Yeah. Well, and I've suggested this as a solution. And again, because there's two different ways to look at it. You can take your sports really seriously, and you gotta do what you gotta do, and you gotta rest players and do this and play to win. And there's others. It's just entertainment. It's a bunch of adults playing a kid's game.
Sure.
They're wealthy. Blah, blah. And I kind of lean a little bit toward the latter that I just said, though I can go both ways on my opinion on it. But like in the case of like a Bryant, couldn't he suit up and start the game and play 5-8 minutes? Don't do anything stupid to break an ankle, but take a couple of shots, make a behind-the-back pass, and then go sit down. Right. So at least people can say, I got to see him. He played a little bit. I mean, you could. I don't see why that's so good. Why you have to rest a guy for an entire game.
No, I get it.
Is beyond me. Have him play. Even, some would say, well, now you're just tossing me a bone. And you know what? That's even more insulting. I don't look at it that way. I say, give me 5 or 10 minutes of the marquee player, even if it's a rest day. 5, 8, 10 minutes is not going to drain.
The comparison I've made, and I'm a Broadway guy. I'm excited that Broadway's going to reopen in September. But, when The Producers was the biggest hit on Broadway with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, they were the two stars. That's the reason why people spent, and even Hamilton, Lin-Manuel. I mean, people waited 2 years to get tickets for that. Well, it'd be like going there, opening the program and going, well, instead of Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, you're seeing Joe Bag of Donuts and so-and-so, right, their understudies, going, wait, what? And it's like, your heart would sink.
Correct.
Well, that's, I'm not, it's, and I, this just in, they work really hard, the actors, being a theatrical guy yourself.
Yes, I've done theater.
I know you have, and I'm just saying that the energy you put into those performances, I think, exceeds what we see at a basketball court many nights. So, but they've managed, they don't want to disappoint people. It's like the old line of, I think it was Joe DiMaggio going out there game after game after game. And what are you doing that, Joe? Well, somebody out there might be watching me for the first time.
Right.
And the only time he gets to see me, I'm going out there with my wool uniform. And I'm going
to
go out
there. I don't want him to think, he's overrated. Who's this Joe DiMaggio?
Yeah, exactly.
Give it everything you got.
Exactly. Different world, though. Money's
Jolt
changed.
And Joe has left and gone away.
Yeah, he sure has.
Hey, where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? When we come back, what's happened here in the Twins game is kind of a microcosm of the entire season. I'll talk to you about that.
Okay.
Other side of the break, it's Common, Brett, and Mark Rosen, Common Man program on The Fan.
And The Fan.
Head at KFN.com and create the correct home project wish list. You could win $50,000 towards your dream project. Plus, you'll be entered for a runner-up prize of $1,200 just from playing. Brought to you by Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union and Minnesota Rusco. Go to KFN.com, keyword home, to enter.
Fast Common Man program. Emails accepted, booth at KFN.com. Brad, Sean, Brian, inbox. This one says, Common boxes himself in. I've never been boxed in. I'm
never.
Houdini of radio. If the Common Man's not for the idolization and pedestalization of athletes, then why should it matter for the marquee players in the game? Just enjoy the basketball game in front of you.
Oh.
You buy a Lakers ticket for the sole reason of seeing one player. You are for the idolization and pedestalization of athletes. Box, box, box. I'm talking about for the average fan, not me. I don't go to games, for starters. But the time I did go to the game for LeBron, it was with Kobe. Wanting to see Kobe. It was my son that wanted to see him. Games are for kids. Kids are supposed to idolize and pedestalize athletes.
Yes.
It's just a whole different thing. It's like being in the Land of Oz.
See, but,
right? It's like it's for me. I don't care. I don't idolize and I don't pedestalize.
But you're there to see.
I'm out of the box. Thank you.
I went to go see with my son who was in town last week. Went to go see him play a couple times. I saw Golden State. I would have been disappointed if Steph Curry didn't play because I appreciate, it's not idolizing him, I appreciate watching someone with that kind of skill, arguably maybe the greatest shot maker of all time, perform. I mean, it's, again, I talk about seeing a Broadway performance. Yeah, Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick were in that show for a long time. Lin-Manuel is, these people are at the top of their game. You want to idolize or pedestalize them? Go right ahead as an adult, because most adults see these people at the top of their game, and you're seeing their performances. So I don't look at it as either or.
Well, and even if you do, I don't idolize. I was talking about the general fan.
I get it.
But buys a ticket.
Yes.
And it's a rest day, and then you've saved up your money.
Yes.
You know, to take your son to a game because you want to see. I want to show my boy Kobe Bryant because he likes Kobe. Right. And he's got this Kobe jersey on. Then all of a sudden,
got a poster in his room.
No, we're not playing. He needs to rest.
Yeah, NBA tried to step in and try to. They've tried to curb that.
Play him for a few minutes. Yeah, now,
right.
That being said, somebody sent an email. Well, then their stats, because they're worried about their stats. Their games, their stats would change dramatically if they play five games for 6 minutes and don't have any sets, and it still counts as a game played. I don't have to tell you. The stats should be. Meaningless. Here's an email. Rocco does it again.
What's that?
6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 87 pitches from your starter. Not even allowed to come in for the 7th. You go to the pen, and then Robles proceeds to give up the game tying dinger. It happens over and over and over again. And now Rodgers is in the game.
Well, I didn't have a problem with the Robles decision this time.
Yeah, but why not see if Big Mike can get through another inning.
Yeah, because I think Robles has been probably their most effective reliever. Okay. And I was just saying before the inning began, if he has a quick inning and he was on his way to a quick inning with 2 outs and 8 pitches, then I think he should go out for the 8th inning. Well, now he gives up the home run, tying home run, and now Rodgers is in there for the 8th. So, look, there's plenty to second guess him, but I think right now you can look at the Twins' offense or lack thereof, and certainly lack of clutch hitting is just as big a reason as anything else, and they're in the predicament they're in right now. Because there's a lot of guys. They just left, again, 2 men on base. Garlic struck out, took a called third. You know, Sano was in the on-deck circle. I was suggesting I would walk him intentionally just to get to Sano to load the bases. Yeah. Man, okay. He'll hit a home run to win the game in the bottom of the 8th. I can see it coming.
Carry the mail, me boy guy. Carry the mail, me boy guy. What's up?
Hey, Common, I had to use that today to remind me to ask you about your Moniker golf tournament. If you could touch on that, if it's going on at the end of this call.
Okay.
All right. The other thing, well, I'm thinking with the Twins. One little thing. Do you think maybe, and I got another one after this. Do you think maybe the team is losing a little, the manager's losing the team with some of these decisions? My biggest thing is the pitching, I believe, is a result of babying these guys and soft. If Jack Morris was soft, we wouldn't have a second World Series.
All right, thanks for that.
I don't think the answer to your first question.
Let me answer.
Go right ahead.
The very first one would be.
Sure.
I think we're having the moniker open again.
I think it's
going to be later in the summer, and I think it's going to be at. It's always been at Chamonix. I'm expecting it to be there again.
Good.
But more word on that. More on that later when I find out. Now go ahead to answer.
I don't think the players are there. The players have plenty on their own plate to worry about what's going on with Rocco and how he's juggling things right now. They got to look in the mirror, and they got their own contracts. They have their own situation. As I talked about, you go down the lineup, and you got enough to worry about. I wouldn't be worrying about someone, the manager's role at the moment. You got to look in the mirror and understand why you're not getting the clutch hit or why you're not doing this. Miguelson, go down the line. They got plenty to work on in their own game. So I don't think that they're as concerned about the manager. The players play the game. They still have to perform at a higher level. As many as goofy moves as Rocco has made with the bullpen of late. It's not the Twins are not the only team that does this. I mean, it's money's played a big role in it. They try to protect them with kid gloves to a fault. Sometimes they treat these guys with kid gloves in the course of 162 games. They're in it for the long haul. They're in it for the marathon. We talk about it all the time. But there are times when you just got to go, no, we got to push it down. I mean, I don't know why, again, because they played last night and they're playing today. Josh Donaldson's not in the lineup. I mean, you almost get to the point going, did he do something again to himself? That's what you start thinking.
Right.
Why isn't he playing today? I mean, I love watching Astudillo do whatever he does when he's on the field. Arise is still out. But you're paying Josh Donaldson a lot of money. I think he could play a baseball game. You could have him play third base again today. Then they go on the road. I mean, it's not like, but that's the way that they approach things now compared to when we watched baseball as a kid. They just didn't take days off.
Speaking of that, taking days off and going to a game,
right,
and expecting to see Kobe or LeBron and being disappointed when they're not in the lineup. What about the times people would tune into Channel 4 to see you do sports?
Listen.
And there's Mike Max. And Mike does a great job. Nothing wrong with Mike, but they're expecting
Rosen Sports Sunday.
And you're on vacation again.
And it's literally called Rosen Sports Sunday, and I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was on a Rosen.
So what are people supposed to think of that? What's your answer to that, Mark?
I had vacation
you don't have
plan.
One, do you?
I don't really have a good answer.
No, you don't. Because you're a fraud.
I had planned vacation.
Speaking of that, on the call screener on the computer in front of me. It always says the name of the caller and then what the topic is.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mediocre Guy, and he wants to talk about Rosie being a fraud.
Okay.
Mediocre Guy, you're on the
Welcome
fan.
To the club.
Hey, Rosie.
Yes, sir.
Just not long ago, you were really holding up that pole, that pocket protector, and you're a fraud.
What are you talking about now?
Yeah, what are you talking about now?
Huh?
What?
What are you talking about?
You really thought this Twins team was going to be fabulous.
He did. He picked them to win the division.
I first picked the White Sox to win, and then I convinced otherwise. But well, they were picked to win. A lot of people were more optimistic with them than I was. And
the most optimistic guy with the poll.
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
Not
yeah,
even close.
No, I'm mediocre people, guy.
People,
you're right.
You know what? You don't have to jump on.
Thanks, mediocre guy.
Thank you. Some guys had him go in the World Series. National guys.
If your team is struggling as bad as it is, and you're six games out of first place, should you be giving anybody a day off?
No. I just, that's what I'm saying.
How much money did they give him? Was it $94 million over 4 years?
Donaldson?
3 years? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever.
I truly don't understand the mindset of how old is Josh Donaldson, 32 or something? I don't know how old he is. That he played the game last night, that he can't play. I mean, you'd want to be out there today, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you want to play today? Then guess what? The game's over at another, hopefully sooner than later. You jump on a plane, you fly to Detroit. Wow. And you get to rest up and you play tomorrow night. I think you can figure out to get a good 8 hours of sleep and ready to go tomorrow night.
Dr. Mike says before each show, Bruce Springsteen pulls the band together, reminds them how much people paid to see them.
Yeah.
That many say for a long time to buy tickets, that they all need to be at the very best. And then this group of musicians, most age 65 plus on the last tour, go out and rock for 3 or 4 hours. Seems that athletes a third to half that age could go out for 10 minutes, even on their off days. Just a thought.
It's just a different era. It just is.
It is a different era.
And that's just the way it is. Now, you know, they play because they play pretty much every day. And there's healthy rest. I heard, the Wild situation right now. Like head coach Evanson said with Nordo today, it's just, Kevin Fiala, it had been a playoff game last night, could have played.
Right.
But in this case, it made sense because he had some maintenance. He had a slight injury. Why aggravate it? Why make it worse? And especially as it turned out last night, a very physical game. In this case, I don't disagree with it. I mean, you understand there's a maintenance issue to it. It was an injury of some sort. He probably tweaked something. Why push it? Save him for, come back tomorrow night against Anaheim. I get it. That's fine. And then, obviously the Arise thing is dictated by, the protocols of Major League Baseball with the concussion situation. But the fact that Josh Donaldson's not playing today, I really don't understand.
Do I have this straight? They somebody took a run at Dollar Bill
Carrillo. Oh yeah,
and they dropped the gloves and.
Well, Foligno went after. Yeah, Foligno's their tough guy, resident tough guy. And he went after the guy, took a shot at Kaprizov. Kaprizov held his own though. He went like he did a little AWA leg lift, and he slammed Hulk Hogan. He got the opposing player on the ground, and he's a pretty burly guy. You know, he's not a little kid. You're going to push around.
Right.
So it was a very, again, a very entertaining game, much different than the one before. But the Wild end up losing in overtime. But I'm going to say mission accomplished. They're playing at a really high level right now. And the playoffs are upon us here. 4 more games to go. They got Anaheim team that's probably given up coming to town this weekend. They should rack up 4 points in those games and see where it all ends up. I mean, the objective right now is really, I guess, finish second. I don't think you're going to catch Vegas, but finish second, get the home ice over Colorado, which doesn't mean something in this case. And I don't get the sense in understanding what Governor Wall said today, reading Russo's tweets, that at least for the first round of the playoffs, that the attendance, unfortunately, is probably not going to be expanded from where they are right now. But once, if the Wild do advance, get to the second round, then I think you could see it increase substantially. If they get to that point. Again, we're just talking about one little aspect of this, but one that means a lot to a lot of people because they'd love to go to the playoff games.
Moniker Open is August 13th.
Oh, good.
It's a Friday.
All right, it's all set.
13th.
All right.
You love this Ant kid, don't you?
I do a lot. I really do. I think
he went off for 42 last night, 8 and 9 from 3-point range.
Yeah, Jimmy Pete, I mentioned it this morning. Jimmy Pete, I was flipping around a lot last night. Jimmy Pete was talking about his 3-point shooting, how early on in his rookie year, he was really not comfortable from 3-point shot because he had never really taken those shots before, because it's obviously the difference between college and pro basketball. But now he's found a rhythm, and that'll just add to his art. If Ant can end up knocking down in any percentage where they have to really respect him at that point.
Breaking news, Sano got his bat on the ball.
Oh, he did.
Now, he weakly doubled? Grounded out to first.
Oh, I always love that one.
He weakly grounded out to first, but he did get his bat on the ball.
Look, that's progress.
It is progress.
Ant is, Lieber said today, well, you can say that and get away with it. I can't. I said, Ant's the face of this franchise. He absolutely is. You can say everything you want about Karl Anthony Towns.
You think Ant's the face of the franchise?
Absolutely. Will be. And he is right now and will be for years to come.
Wow.
He's the glue. He's going to be the guy. Absolutely. So? Without question. Towns has got a lot of talent for what he does, but he's not a guy you're going to build a team around. Anthony Edwards is going to be the guy you're going to build a team
around. Well, let's see what Walter, the Secretary of Insight, thinks.
Oh, he knows basketball.
Walter,
Hey, Dan. Hey, Mr. Rosen.
Hey, Walter.
Yes, sir, Walter.
Walter, do you think Anthony Edwards, Ant, is now the face of this franchise?
Well, I tell you what, that's why, you should have got Nate McMillan. You should have got Nate. McMillan.
That was the mistake, not getting Nate.
He was just sitting there. He was just sitting there. Nobody could have had him.
We're waiting for him.
And Indiana made, really what they did amounts to a blunder. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not a mistake. but a blunder.
A blunder. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
We know what a blunder means. We know historically what a blunder can mean.
We sure do.
Oh, do we ever hear?
The German armed force invaded the Soviet Union, and the German general said we shouldn't do it. Napoleon failed because they froze to death. Horses froze
to death. Yeah, don't do it in the wintertime of all times.
That's right.
What are you thinking? In the Russian front? What do you think is going to happen?
That's right. Mussolini tried to invade Greece.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Went in the mountains during the winter.
Yep.
Struck out.
Huh?
So we know what a blunder. We know what a blunder.
Those are blunders.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Minnesota Twins said, "David, we don't think you have it anymore." David Ortiz.
That's a blunder.
We got to let you go. Yeah.
Okay? Right up there with Mussolini.
That's another blunder.
Yeah.
So these are this is something that I've been really. I'm on the case of this, and I think it's great. I enjoy it.
I think you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. This Anthony Edwards kid, though, he's, for a guy that really doesn't, he said his basketball's not even his favorite sport, he likes football, he sure can hoop it up.
Well, there's, like I said, the Timberwolves have 20 wins. I looked in the paper, and I saw where they have 20 wins.
Mm-hmm.
I see Memphis. I see Sacramento. You know, I see New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying, for the last month, I've been going around, talking around the neighborhood, talking to my friends, talking to the Scrappers. I say, hey, look, why can't the Timberwolves have, a 25, 26 win thing where they would have a chance, for this playing thing?
Yep.
Memphis is going to be in it. New Orleans is fighting. I think they're like a game and a half out of 10th.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. This plan is making all these teams work harder. The Lakers are now looking over their shoulder.
Even though LeBron hates it. Too bad, LeBron.
Well, it is. It's too bad. We kind of laughed about it. I told some of the guys, I said, hey, you know what? LeBron said whoever thought of the plan ought to be fired. We had a big laugh about it.
Yeah.
But the play-in is like it says, it's in.
That's it. It's a play-in.
So I'll tell you what, look at a team like the Washington Wizards. This is a team that's going to be real scary. I mean, they're going to be 10th or 9th, and they're going to be scary.
Well, with Westbrook and Beal, they would be.
They are the team nobody will want to play.
See? And once again, my main point is I told the background guy, I said, hey, Nate McMillan was sitting there. We've covered Indiana.
Your fate was Nate.
They blundered, letting Nate go.
Yeah, they did.
And look at where they are.
That's exactly. Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
If the Timberwolves would have got Nate, I'm telling you, old Quinn Snyder would have been worried. I mean, that's just what I think.
I got 10 seconds. You got a Gauman out forgotten or a go team, Walter?
Well, they talked about all the great pitching coaches. You kept hearing, Billy Martin kept saying Art Fowler. Everywhere I go, I take Art Fowler with me.
Right.
Rene Lachman, his name was always mentioned. Ray Miller. But there's only one pitching coach that stands above all, because he did it. He won 3 World Series in a row.
Johnny Podgers. Right.
5 Western Division championships and 3 World Series in a row. The one and only Westock.
Thank you, Westock.
I thought he was going to go Johnny Podgers.
Well, but there, you see, you tried to steal his thunder. Why, he's on a roll. He's doing his thing, and you have to jump in there.
I was guessing.
You wanted to jump in there because you wanted to say, look at how much I know.
No, I was wrong. I was wrong.
Right.
I did it.
So you should have just, instead of jumping.
Sorry.
You.
I never interrupt Walter, ever. I love him.
That's astonishing to me.
It is.
That's a blunder.
That's a blunder.
That's a blunder like Mussolini.
Mussolini.
You are Benito Mussolini-like is what you're like there, but that blunder.
I love it.
We'll see you tomorrow at 1:30.
Oh, we got
Feminine
password.
Touch with Program Password. Thank you, Mark Rosen.
My pleasure.
Brent, great job.
Hey, great job today.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks. You did just a bang-up job. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon. Stick around. Big Tick and JGR next on The Fan.
And a
good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to any of Common Man's programs by podcasting on the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.